show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I hope you're ready for a good show because we're ready to sit here and keep you informed, educated, and entertained. Coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. What a glorious day it is here. I don't know, around 82 degrees and sunny. Beautiful day. And I hope it's nice where you are as well. I know it's starting to get a little cool up north right now, but hey, that's the way it is. Heading up north myself, coming up in December. Heading to New York City. How about that? That's right. Going up there and have some fun. Should be a good time. I know I'm planning on enjoying it. Lots to talk about today. First of all, I do want to remember first things first, first important priorities first, and you know what a college football fan I am, and you know how I must have felt after the game Saturday in which my beloved Buckeyes were defeated by the Illini. Congratulations to all the Illini folks, but we took it like a man, didn't cry, but only about 3 hours or so nonstop. And couldn't eat for a day or two. Other than that, things are fine. But it is Michigan week. Yes, it is. And this is the week we play good old Meat Chicken, that team from up north. And this is the kind of historic week. The first time since 1959, since Ohio State and Michigan both have lost the game before the big game. And believe me, it is the big game. No other college rivalry approaches it. I've been to most of them. Almost all of them. Never been to an Army-Navy game, but nothing else comes close. And I'm all nervous already because, you see, even though we did play ourselves out of the national championship last week, that's almost a definite thing, beating Meat Chicken is all that matters. If we were 0-10 right now, I'd be nervous. We have to beat them or don't have a successful season. That's just how it is. Well, anyway, I won't bore you with any more football talk. There is a lot to talk about today. One thing. Somebody sent me these, and I have to be sure to mention them. In regard to the football, do you know how to get... If there's a guy on the porch, you know how to get him off your porch? A guy from Michigan? I see I'm killing this already. There's a guy from Michigan on your porch. You know how to get rid of him? Pay him for the pizza. Second one is, what do they call a good-looking girl on the campus of Michigan University? A visitor. That's right. Usually from Ohio, visiting from Ohio. All right, that's all for the football today. That's all for the lame jokes. Thanks for joining us, and I won't bother you anymore with that. There is a lot to talk about, a lot of serious things to talk about, and we'll talk about Ohio a little bit later. Seems like Hillary's got some problems up in Ohio. And you've all heard this. Well, I'll get into that a little bit later. I'll get into this $1.6 trillion or whatever it figures out to be just a little bit later. We've had this conversation, you and I and the whole audience, quite a bit in the last several months about individuality and what we can do to change the political climate in America, to change what's going on, to right the course, where, you know, and I do believe that it's a mistake to think that individually that we can't have a profound influence on society and politics and all. And I came to that realization. I was thinking about this this week. I came to that realization one night while I was camping on the rim of the Grand Canyon many, many years ago. And it's such a pleasant memory. I think about it often. I built a small campfire, and at twilight, as I looked into the canyon and saw the spectacular array of colors that Mother Nature's displayed in front of me, I realized that this site, one of the most beautiful sites this world has to offer, this just incredible beauty, wasn't formed overnight, and it would never look quite the same as it did this night again. It's always a little bit different, but it'd be different each night for probably for eternity. And most importantly, it wasn't formed by a sudden act of nature, some big explosion or something, but it was formed gradually over millions of years, and it came to be because of the waters of the rivers flowing through it. And little by little, the waters carved out this beautiful canyon, kind of like a sculptor works with a block of granite or marble, gradually removing bits and pieces of it until the end result is a thing of beauty to be appreciated by everyone who sees it. And so I have come to believe it's the same with mankind. All of us have the ability, even the obligation, to make society better. And I think that's one of the huge differences between us and the conservatives. I think we do have an obligation to make society better for everyone, not just for ourselves. To make it something that those who follow us will appreciate us for. They'll be able to look back at history and say, you know, those who came before us were really good stewards of the planet, with both the environment and the gradual evolution of human behavior towards civility. And one thing that I know all liberals treasure is the progress of man. And we have the ability to carve out the canyon, so to speak, that is humanity. We can make it something beautiful, or we can choose to make it a hellish nightmare for everybody who follows us on this planet. We can pollute the earth until it's ugly and barren and no longer capable of giving us the very things that we need to sustain life. We can use it. We can abuse it. Make the whole place unfit for human habitation to the point where life just gradually disappears from the earth. And that could happen. And we can do that with the human condition as well. And that's my point here today. We can keep the earth clean and productive and capable of sustaining life, but still, even after all of that, we can be good stewards of the environment, but it might still be unfit for human habitation because of the lack of liberty and the lack of freedoms and the lack of basic civility that mankind really needs to live a decent life. After all, what good would come from preserving the planet's environment if we don't also preserve freedom and the ability to live one's life without the tyranny and the oppression of those who would seek to subjugate the human species for their own enrichment and self-serving goals? Chaos and fear would reign during that process, and human behavior, and you know this is true, it would descend back into the depths of the Cro-Magnon and the Neanderthal days and even before. So, isn't it time that everyone realizes that the 2008 election shouldn't be treated as some sort of a spectator sport, but rather as a serious issue, which might very well decide whether or not our great human, you know, great experiment in representative government survives the threat from those who would cede everything to the rich and the powerful and return the working man to the conditions of the serfs in the Middle Ages. Isn't it time that we forget the partisanship of the political parties and vote for what's best for America and her future generations? You know, I asked the question, should we be concentrating on this as if it were some sort of a baseball game where we only care who wins because we want to be on the winning side so we can look at the losers and go, nah, 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 you lost and we won. And that's the way politics has been lately. It's just that the stakes are too damn high for the choice of our governmental leaders to turn into some sort of a spectator sport. Isn't it time that we take a serious look at pursuing peace with those who oppose us? You know, the basic problem, in my opinion, with this Bush administration, we have not sought peace with those who oppose us. You know, must we see a powerful military as the answer to all the problems in the world? I think these neocons certainly do. Can't we make it a priority to seek peace as if there is no terrorism? And fight terrorism as if there is no peace? You know, I hope that we're developed enough intellectually to do both. I can't remember who said it, but I agree with the statement that, how's it go? Someone who stands by and watches something terribly wrong take place and does nothing about it deserves the hottest place in hell. You know, we'd all do well to remember these words from the great Louis Brandeis. And he said, the most important political office is that of the private citizen. I know I've presented a negative tone on this program for quite a while now. And I've been looking at the human condition and reporting what I see. And I don't want to be constantly and consistently negative, but I think it's my duty to show things as they are and not how I think they ought to be. And although there exists, on my part at least, a strong propensity to depreciate the advantages and to magnify the evils of the present time, I don't think we've overly done that on this program. I truly believe that we've reached a point in our democracy where both parties are devoting their energies to trying to prove that the other party is unfit to rule. And when you stop and think about it, I think both of them are succeeding in that endeavor. And unfortunately, both of them are right. It's just that the political dialogue taking place right now is so poisonous. There is no civil debate taking place. Most have forgotten that before you impugn your opponent's motives, even when they legitimately should be impugned, you should answer his arguments. And now we've just turned into a screaming match. And all of us who consider ourselves Democrats or liberals or progressive, we need to remember that idealism that we have, and we do have it, does not protect us from ignorance or dogmatism or foolishness. We do not live just by ideas alone. And the Republicans shouldn't fall into the vulgar mistake of dreaming that they're being persecuted whenever they're contradicted. That's they've succumbed to painting themselves as victims whenever they don't get their own way. My, are they the victims? But isn't there a way to forge a dialogue between the two factions who are so divided right now? Isn't there a way to heal the divide and start working for the betterment of our nation instead of working for the advantage of the political parties and the cronyism and the patronage that always follows? We're going to talk about some of that slime that always follows a little later today. Can't we find some common ground and begin to work together for a change? You know, it just seems to me that man suffers from this almost congenital disease where stubbornness takes over, and he'll not give in once a controversy started. And after he becomes passionate about the matter that he begins to regard as absolutely true, those things which he initially endorsed very casually. I've done that. You've done that. We've all done that. You know, to me, it seems a good start would be with taking a good look at some laws we've made in the last few years. And FISA and a lot of those, taking away our freedoms. After all, the law is to be respected, but only if we make the law respectable. And so many party leaders are only concerned about their reputations within their political parties. Reputation within the party, that's paramount to most of these guys. But it should be clear, in my opinion anyway, that reputation is what other people know about you. Honor is what you know about yourself. But we need to be more diligent in identifying these political leaders' motives. And for if you disregard people's motives, it becomes a lot harder to foresee their actions. And it's become very evident over the past few years that foreseeing the motives of politicians is absolutely imperative so that we can buy enough time, the time necessary to negate their actions, which may be detrimental for the good of the people. Because after all, they need to be reminded they are not kings. The law, the Constitution is king, and it's up to all of us to enforce it, even if our leaders will not. It's important to be aware of our history, both from the early days and most especially from the recent past. If you're going to ignore what happened before you were born, you might as well remain a child. What is the point of a guy, you know, of a man or a woman living unless the memory that you have of past events is woven in with those of earlier times to form better ideas and better ways of making human condition better for everybody? And isn't that what this progressive movement is all about, making it better for everybody? I thought a lot about this lady. I don't know who's going to take the first step toward the healing that we so desperately need. The frightening part is I don't know if anyone will take the steps necessary to bring the political factions back together, bring them back to working for the good of America instead of the Washington political scene continuing down the path of destruction they're on right now. Time will only tell. And I don't think it's going to be very long before we know the answer to all this. That's why I think it's especially important right now to work hard in this political process and make sure things don't get any farther out of hand than they already are. To put things back on the right path. Because God knows we've been on the wrong path for a long time now. And it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to every single one of us to work hard to getting it back together. We need to do that. Going to pause for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Back when progressives were fighting for a woman's right to vote and establishing national parks and trying to pass a new plan called Social Security, conservatives fought them every step of the way. And today, it's conservatives trying to move us backwards. It's progressives who are working to protect pensions, provide health insurance for all, and achieve energy independence. America at its best. That's progressive. That's you.
I frame the question in these stark terms.
Are we going to continue to invest American blood and treasure at the same rate we are doing now? For what?
If we continue what you have laid before the Congress here as a strategy, do you feel that that is making America safer?
Sir, I don't know, actually.
Shook it up. I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. Heart truly, in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind. All of these words I hear in my mind. All of this music, and it breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart. When it breaks my heart. Suppose I never, ever met you. Suppose we never fell in love. Suppose I never, ever let you kiss me so sweet and so soft. Suppose I never, ever saw you.
James Show on this Tuesday afternoon. Welcome. Glad to have you. We'd like to hear from you, you know. And you can do that. Just pick up your phone. Give us a call. Toll free. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. Toll free. And if you've got an unlimited calling plan, want to use your nickel, 941-876-6896. Love to hear from you today. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, and I've got a lot to say about Rudolph Giuliani today, but we've had this story that's very big in the news in the past day or so, and the numbers are all over the place. One report by a Democratic congressional panel puts the figure now almost $21,000 for a family of four from 2002 to 2008 for this for the Bush War. $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion. Now, you can't really wrap your head around a figure like a trillion. You really can't. Overall, the Democrats on the Congress's Joint Economic Committee estimate that the war's price tag totals $1.6 trillion, which is twice as much what is what the Bush administration and, you know, much they've asked for. And Iraq alone is responsible for 90% of that figure. But the reason for the vast differences between them are the so-called hidden costs. They include the interest, And you've got to, hey, it's money out of pocket. You've got to include it. The interest on the government, the money the government's borrowed for having to borrow hundreds of billions of dollars, as well as how the wars affect the oil market. And that's not been too good. Remember? Well, if we get control of the oil over there, you know, that's going to drive the price of gasoline way down. Yeah. Oh, think of it, boy. We get a hold of that Iraqi oil, and that price of gasoline will go down to, well, that's going to be a good thing. Just wait and see. That's what a lot of my redneck friends like to tell me. Yeah, we get that oil from them Iraqis. We'll show them. Gas be 50 cents a gallon. But there are all those hidden costs in there. The long-term care of the veterans and their health benefits. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said that the price tag was proof, quote, of how President Bush's stubborn refusal to change course in Iraq and congressional Republicans' willingness to rubber stamp his failed strategy has real consequences at home for all Americans. The White House, which said they didn't see the report, I bet there are 50 of them in the White House that went over it with a fine-tooth comb. Anyway, they dismissed it as just another Democratic attempt to politicize the issue. And that might be. That might be. Harry Reid, you know, he threatened to tighten the purse strings on this whole thing. Oh, that's very, very, very scary. How many times has Harry threatened them over this, that, and the other thing? Oh, man. You know, just a nice sleight of hand here, Harry. The Pentagon announces they're going to start bringing troops home. So Harry said, well, we'll bring out this bill saying that the funding is tied to troop withdrawals. So if it does pass, which it won't, Harry will be able to claim some sort of a victory, even though some of the withdrawals are already in the works. Again, nothing accomplished by Harry Reid. Nothing. And folks, I mentioned a few minutes ago that it's hard to wrap your head around just how big is $1 trillion. Let me give you an idea of how much cash $1 trillion is. $1.6 trillion, okay? It's a stack of $100 bills stacked one on top of the other. Not end to end, mind you, but like you get them in bundles at the bank, stacked flat end on top of flat end, stacked on top of one another. A stack of $1.6 trillion of $100 bills would be about 1,000 miles high. So I got out my trusty map and I looked and rounded numbers off. In other words, you could stack $100 bills from here where I live in Southwest Florida all the way to Columbus, Ohio, or from Boston to Chicago. From Dallas to Chicago. From Minneapolis, Minnesota, all the way to Birmingham, Alabama. From Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. From Omaha, Nebraska to Buffalo, New York. From Denver to Indianapolis. You get the point. $1.6 trillion. It's a stack of $100 bills on top of one another, about 1,000 miles high. Frightening that we could think about spending that kind of money. Fascinating. But it was remarkable to me the other day to see Junior Bush stand up in front of a TV audience, a national audience, in front of the cameras and say, accuse the Democrats of being the big spenders. He has all this bravado. That he stands for small government and he's going to cut the budget. The fact is, he's the biggest spending president since Lyndon B. Johnson. Actually, he's a bigger spender than Lyndon B. Johnson. The numbers are absolutely clear. They're credible. They're conclusive. He's a big spender. There's no question about it. How many spending bills has he vetoed? I found this comparison of the annual growth in discretionary spending by presidents. And since 1964, The top five spenders are George W. Bush. The annual growth of spending through his term has been 5.3%. Lyndon Johnson is in second place, 4.6%. Gerald Ford at 3.0%. Jimmy Carter at 2.4%, and Ronald Reagan at 1.9%. Odd that Bill Clinton's name isn't in there any place. So, he's the biggest spender that we've had since 1964, George W. Bush. And he's standing in front of a TV audience the other day saying that the Democrats are spending money like a teenager with a new credit card. He vetoed the major spending measure on Tuesday that would have funded education and health care and job training programs, saying it had too many special projects in it. And maybe it did. But he vetoed that even while he signed a $459 billion bill to increase the Pentagon's non-war funding. The veto was going to, it was a bill that was going to give $150 billion in discretionary spending for the Departments of Education and Labor and Health and Human Services. Of course, none of that stuff's important. It's just obscene the way this man talks. And what is even more obscene is that the public sucks it up. That's right, we stand for lower taxes. We ought to be selling war bonds right now. We should have been selling war bonds ever since this war started. Even before it started, we should have been selling war bonds like they did in other wars. Instead, what does this guy do? What does this economic moron do? He cuts taxes while we're at war. Nobody has ever done that before. Even Lincoln sold bonds. The Second World War, bonds financed it. But no. This guy, this economic genius, this MBA president, and I'd have to see some of his term papers to buy that one. I really would. I bet some of them don't exist and never did. You know how that goes. But cut taxes. Cut taxes, cut taxes. Never mind how much this war costs. Just cut taxes. Why? Because my friends are all rich folks, and the powers that be are all rich folks, and they want their taxes cut so they don't have to pay their fair share. And let's just let the working man who doesn't have his job anymore pay the taxes. Let's let the guy on the assembly line up in Detroit and Flint, Michigan, who has had his job shipped over, or a lot of the jobs shipped over to China or wherever they go lately. Let's put the burden on them. Certainly not on my rich friends. It's just an absurdity to talk about the other party spending money when you cut taxes during a war. There are a lot of economists that think that that is probably one of the craziest, most insane moves that any government has ever done, ever. Ever. There's just, it's hard to understand. It really is. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, I guess I got first in line again. Lucky me. I'm glad to hear what you were started off the program on. I heard it as, you know, we're just filled with crooks up there in Washington, Democrats and Republicans, and we the people have to change this, and we can. You were what I heard in your talk, and you know, that the positive that we actually can make a change, you know. And as always, I'm trying to think of ways that we could be more effective, you know. And one of the ideas I had is, you know, when we send letters to our congresspeople and our senators and petitions and all that, no matter what it seems, no matter how much heat we put on these bastards, these criminals, they answer to the military-industrial complex, which is bleeding this country to death. And so what I'm wondering is, I'm wondering if we put, if we do a simple CC, you know, copy it to our local media and send it to the editor, not send it to as a letter to the editor, but actually copy, you know, make a photocopy of the whatever we're sending to these representatives, and start putting some heat on the media as well, you know, with one, you know, two birds with one mailing, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, no one thing is going to, except impeachment, I believe, which these guys have, you know, you stack up the impeachable offenses, you know, you reach the moon, for crying out loud. No one thing, I believe, is going to take this enterprise down, you know. So I really like this network, the Head On Radio Network, and programs like yours that allow, you know, knuckleheads like me to try to jump in and throw in ideas that might help our common cause.
Well, I think one of the main problems that we on the left have is a lack of organization. We're like I've always said, we're like a herd of I don't know what, just scurrying all over the place. The Republicans are united pretty much in things. They're a little bit fractured right now, but not too much. And it's just hard with all the special interests that we have in this, in our party right now on the left. It's really, really difficult to get a great organization going.
Do you think, Guy, you know, I believe, and we've had this conversation before, I believe the party is the people occupying the seats that, you know, representatives and senators, they don't represent us, man. You know, I believe it's been stolen from us, and it, like I've asked you this question before. When you say you're a Democrat, what do you mean by that? And you've said more than a number of times, more than a few times on your program, that you feel a responsibility and an obligation as being a member of the Democratic Party to make sure it stays true to its mission and its goals and its values, and that when it's off, you speak up and try to get it back on course. And I'm concerned about the people that basically act like the sheep in the Republican Party, you know, that just, they're getting orders from these criminals. Pelosi, Hoyer, I mean, did you see what you did see when they, Kucinich's, introduced the impeachment, and the Pelosi and Hoyer did everything they could to kill it.
Oh, you know, Phil, you're right, and the biggest problem we have, and what I was trying to reiterate there, and I heard somebody say it the other day. I can't remember which one of the pundits on TV, and I've experienced it several times myself. Have you ever been to a big? Oh. And I'm sure you have. I've been to a lot of Democratic Party gatherings, lots of them.
Yes.
And big banquets and so forth. I've spoken at them. I've attended them. I've been to dozens and dozens and dozens of those over the years. And we'll get a big time speaker come in. We'll get a Howard Dean come in. We'll get a Mario Cuomo. We'll get this one. Especially when we get somebody for office. We'll get a John Edwards coming in. We'll get an Obama coming in and all that. And so they'll stand up in front of the group and speak.
Yes.
Are you hearing all that buzzing in the background? I don't know where that's coming from. You on a remote phone?
No, I'm on my landline.
Anyway,
Sorry.
You'll hear all that. They'll get up and speak, and they'll stand and say something, and one or two tables in the back will get up and cheer. And then they'll make another point, and one or two tables over here will get up and cheer. And what they do is stand there and give a speech for a half hour or 20 minutes or however long it is, appealing to every special interest group in the room, but you never see hardly the entire audience stand up with enthusiasm and passion and go for this. And that's the biggest problem that we have on the left right now, is we've got a lack of cohesiveness, and we got we got 50 people in there trying to get a piece of the pie.
Well, you know, the left and the right, as far as the people are concerned, you know, the average Joe paying $3.25 for a gallon of gas and $5 for a gallon of milk or whatever the hell it is. I believe the left-right thing going on now, and one of the callers into the Bob Kincaid show the other night, Bob from North Dakota or whatever, he calls in quite a bit, Vietnam veteran, Marine. He alluded to this, that we've got to come together as fellow Americans who are getting screwed, except for the knuckleheads and that keep backing Bush and the criminals in the Republican Party, are getting screwed just the same, and I think a lot of them are waking up. That does not. Joining together for a common fight does not mean that you're giving up your personal
value. Oh, no, it doesn't. You know? But the problem is, within the Democratic Party now, right now, at least, you know, you've got the gay and lesbian group, you've got the pro-abortion group, you've got this group, you've got that group. We've got so many groups in there fighting, and nobody wants to give up any of their territory. With a campaign or a candidate, and they just pull against one another instead of all joining together. You instead of having a big tent, you've got all these little tents, and I think it's poppycock to say we're all under one big tent. We're not.
Well, Bob, the caller from the other night, and you may know of him as far as being on the network. I hear him call in more in the evening program. I lost my train of thought there.
No, the point I'm getting at is we just don't have a cohesive effort. And although I'm talking about individualism is getting back together and putting this party together, and I am a party guy, but I want the party to be back to its roots, is what it really stands for. And I don't like where it's at right now and where it's going right now, because we're headed the same way that the Republicans are, just being answerable to the big money groups, and that's all. But even so, we have a terrible, and it's the nature of the beast with the liberals and conservatives. The liberals are all going to fight for little individual, and I don't mean little. I don't mean to belittle anybody's cause, but we do. We have too much infighting. You know, the fight that's going on right now in the primaries. God, that's going to it's really hurtful. It really is.
Well, you know, hurtful. I think if we look at what's hurting us all, man, and focus on that. This, you mentioned Iraq and the how much this thing's. This is a deliberate destruction of America by multinational corporations, which have taken over the United States government to an extent now where they're deliberately destroying us. The American jobs are all over to slave labor countries. They're using this damn war as a not only a means of enriching themselves, but just bankrupting us, the people. I encourage people to look into this security and prosperity Partnership Agreement, you know, which is commonly known as the North American Union, and consider it with the destruction of the value of the dollar and the Amero that they're trying to do. This is, I really think, Guy, this is a bigger thing than these other issues, and it's one that affects all of us. And Bob, that's what Bob was saying the other night, to look at these candidates, regardless of the party, as individuals, you know, and hold them to account. I think pretty much almost all of them should be voted the hell out of there, but then you come up with the problem, well, who can we run in the place? And there are people that are trying to, that are really stepping up, and, you know, citizens, people hurting, or know the hurt from a $3.25 gallon of gas, you know. People know the hurt of having, you know, a family member in the military because they can't afford college. These people are know the hurt of not being able to have health care, you know. There are people that are actually stepping up to run, and there is power in people. You mentioned that earlier in the program that we can make a change.
Well, we can, and you know, all this internecine warfare we're having right now in the primary and so forth, I mean, it'll be over soon, thank God.
Yes.
And then whoever the candidate is, you're just going to have to get, because, and I was thinking today, no matter who you're for in the primary, it doesn't matter. We've all got somebody we're for in the primary. If our candidate doesn't make it, and if you absolutely hate the one that does get the nomination, I ask everybody to please do, even if, okay, I know a lot of people don't like Hillary Clinton, especially people that listen to this show. I hear it all the time.
Yes.
But I would ask everybody to remember, if as much as you don't like the idea of Hillary Clinton being the nominee of the party, do remember what is sitting on the other side of that fence. As much as you don't like many of the things that she might stand for, or any of the candidates stand for, at least 70-80% of the time they do vote at least with progressive and liberal. But do remember what is standing on the other side of that fence. No matter how much you don't like getting beat in the primaries with your candidate, you've got to remember what is over there on the other side. And that's a hard one to swallow, I know. But
man, we still got a year, and I am.
We only got about 3 months, Phil.
Oh, with the primaries.
Yeah.
You're right, Guy. Thanks for correcting me. One of the things, Guy, I want to ask you to, if you could elaborate a little, could you, you follow the party better than I do, could you maybe give an example or something of these infighting things that may hurt us as a whole, in the Democratic Party, that is?
Well, right now, I mean, there's, and regardless how I feel about it or how anybody feels about it, there is no question that everybody's ganging up on Hillary Clinton right now. And
yes.
there's an undercurrent. There's a big effort to tear her down. And that's fine. That's politics. You gotta be big about it and have broad shoulders and all that. Lady or no lady, you got to stand in there and fight. But just so it doesn't get out of hand, you know, Reagan had, what is it, the 11th commandment, thou shalt not disparage a Republican. Well, it should be the same on the Democratic side when it gets down to the nitty gritty. We've got to come together when this whole thing's over with you know, quit the fight. And you know, I go to the major website, and maybe you do too. There's one called Democratic Underground.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, the fighting that goes on there, and other Democratic websites on the forums and so forth. Well, I hate this candidate, I hate that candidate, and there's no way, and all back and forth. And it's just, and it'll continue right up until the election, and when this primary's over, there's going to be a lot of people say, hell no, I'm not, I'm done, I'm going to vote third party, I'm going to, you know, and that's not going to benefit anybody.
Man, it just, I hear you, Guy, but we're left with voting with the, for the lesser of two evils,
yeah.
And then we continue to get evil. I do know this about Hillary Clinton. I believe that well, she's beholden to the corporations, even this health care plan that she's putting out. It ain't universal health. The corporations are benefiting from it. And this debt, I mean, for her and Edwards and Obama to say in that debate that they wouldn't have the troops out before 2013, you know, I think we really need to look at all of these candidates as individuals, you know, folks, find out about the Council on Foreign Relations and these candidates' ties to that organization. Please do a little research in the power that they have over these politicians. I don't know, Guy. We, the people, have to make the change. And I believe that the Democratic Party is so much poisoned, the same as.
But what are you saying, Phil? You saying there needs to be a third party?
You know, that's been asked before. I don't think so.
No.
I think there are a handful of candidates that are not sellouts. There's Dennis Kucinich, and he's doing basically, Guy, what they're all supposed to be doing. You know what I mean?
I know, but once we get once we get past the primary.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, I'm a reasonable guy. You know,
yes.
I've said this before. He's not going to get the nomination. He's going to be lucky if he gets 5%. And he's not going to get it as much as I'd like to have him get it. I got to use my head on this thing. And when it comes down to it and Hillary Clinton gets the nomination and she votes with Democrats 75% of the time, what are you going to do? You going to vote for her or are you going to vote for Rudy Giuliani? I mean, you know.
Damn it. You know, I'm sick and tired of being put in this position.
Oh, so am I.
You know,
what are you going to do? I mean, are we going to say, oh, to hell with it and walk away? Or are we going to say, okay, let's sacrifice the election and give it to the Republicans for the next 20 years by trying to go third party? I mean, it's a rough one. It is.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up, Guy, and I hope you continue to discuss this issue on your programs, because we've got to break this chain.
All right. Let's say we all decide we're going to go with a third party thing, and we're going to work on that. Look at all the money that Ross Perot had, and he couldn't get a third party going.
After he scared them.
Yeah, and look at the lack of cohesiveness on the left right now. Does anybody really think you could get a viable third party going right now with all the factions within the Democratic Party? I don't. I don't
no,
think it's possible.
And I agree with you, Guy. I agree with you on the third party. I'm just saying the Democrats have, I believe, they're worse than the Republicans. Now, don't get me wrong. On this issue of keeping this damn illegal occupation and empire going, they're worse than the Republicans, because they actually, we know what to expect from the Republicans loyal to the corporations, you know, that's a given. But the Democrats have the majority, and for them not to stop this, to me, is there was an article that's been bouncing around the internet. You may have seen it. Treason of the Mainstream Democrat.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think we do have a majority. I think the Blue Dog Democrats and all that, I think it adds up into the House and to the Senate where we don't have a majority. I think we need another 20 seats in the House yet, and we're going to have to take another half dozen in the Senate before we can talk with authority there. And we members of the Democratic Party, which I am a card-carrying member.
Yes, but they're not, you know, damn it, they're not. Okay, I heard what you just said, but the numbers, there is, when you count the numbers, there is a majority.
If you just look at the R's and the D's, but if you look at how they vote, like I said, the Blue Dogs, they might as well not have D's behind their names because they're Republicans.
Yes, well, we got our own Bill Nelson here in Florida, we've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz down your neck of the woods, in Congress that keeps voting for the war, won't touch impeachment.
We just got to get a bigger majority. I mean, it's going to take a bigger majority. We're always going to have people like the Bill Nelsons who are going to play both sides of the fence. He has to get elected. He's a political whore. That's all there is to it. There are others. And Mary Landrieu, another example. She stays right in the middle of, got her feet on both sides of the fence. And we're always going to have those. Those people are political whores that'll do and say anything to stay in office. And we're going to have them from now till the end of time. But
if we get a majority, the majority, yes. But what are we putting in there to take these 20 seats, or whatever it is?
Let's say we put up a hardcore. Let's say I run for the Senate in the state of Florida. That's pretty far fetched.
Got my vote.
But you won't get any. You won't get anybody more firmly on the left than I am. I couldn't get elected in this state. Absolutely couldn't get elected in this state. I couldn't get elected in Ohio either. So what do you do? I mean, you gotta. Compromise is the art of politics, I guess, and some of these people compromise a little bit too much for my blood. They get carried away with it.
I think we gotta not give in so soon. I don't mean you, Guy, but as the people, because we nothing changes if nothing changes, and we the people, and I hope this conversation continues on how we can make the change, to what we want. We got a guy up here in the 24th district, Feeney's district, and who's been working his ass off, Clint Curtis, anti-war. I've met the man, and he's come to our anti-war demonstrations. He's just an honest guy, and the state Democratic Party just recruited Cosmos or whatever, and Clint Curtis, they wouldn't give him a dime. It's a corrupt. The leadership is corrupt.
Oh, it is.
Corrupt.
It's nothing but a bunch of patronage. I've been involved in it. I've seen it. That's why it's ugly. You have to earn your way up the ladder and kiss ass all the way. Hey, Phil, got to go. News is coming up at the top of the hour.
Yes.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for this discussion.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm just afraid. Let me tell you what I'm afraid of, and I'll get this quick. I'm just afraid that if we go ahead and say, okay, let's chuck it, let's go ahead and chuck the Democrats right now, let's go ahead and try a third party, let's go ahead and try to make our point and everything. If we cede things to the Republican during that time, I'm afraid that over the next 8, 10, 12 years, however long, I think we're on the tipping point right now. And I don't think we can afford to give it away to them right now. I don't think we can afford to say, hey, wait till next time while we get organized with a third party or kick these people out. I feel just as rotten about it as you do, that we have to go along with people who are obviously ass kissers on both sides of the fence. I mean, I hate that. The Bill Nelsons and the Mary Landrieus, and there are others, that kind of politics just sickens me. Just absolutely sickens me. Take a stand, stay there and do it right, But some of them, I'll tell you what you want to hear, and that way I can stay in office, stay in a good stead with both sides. That's what we hear all too often. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Get your phone calls ready for the next hour. We'll take them at 866-546-5254. We'll be back right after the news here on the Guy James Show.
This is the Quality News Network. During a ceremonial swearing-in, new Attorney General Michael Mukasey addressed his employees at the Justice Department today, saying he will provide them the leadership they deserve. Referencing his service over 30 years ago as a New York federal prosecutor, Mukasey added, "It was great to be back." The latest war funding bill, asking for $50 billion, supported by anti-war Democrats, requires most troops to be home by December 15th of next year. The president has promised a veto. The prime ministers of North and South Korea met today for the first time in 15 years. Divided since the end of World War II, the two Koreas came together to discuss the promises made during last month's summit meeting, including a massive aid package to help rebuild North Korea's flailing infrastructure. A senior Taliban leader has promised 2008 to be the bloodiest year for U.S. and coalition forces in Afghanistan. According to Reuters, Mullah Hatala Khan said he has sent hundreds of new suicide bombers to Afghan cities to break public confidence in the ability of coalition forces to provide security. Iran has turned over a set of blueprints containing drawings on how to mold uranium metal into warheads. The release of the documents meets a key demand of the UN's nuclear watchdog agency, but does not remove the threat of a third set of sanctions against the Persian country. The Justice Department will reopen the dormant inquiry into the federal warrantless wiretapping program. Investigators shut down the probe last year when they were denied security clearance. The resurrection of the case comes just days into the tenure of new Attorney General Michael Mukasey. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer today has decided to abandon his plan to give driver's license to illegal immigrants. Spitzer said at a press conference the overwhelming public opposition to the plan led to his decision. In San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors voted yesterday to issue municipal ID cards regardless of immigration status. Tom Amiano, who wrote the bill, said it is a smart public safety measure. Opponents argue the local ID cards reward those in the country illegally and undermine the efforts of the federal government. Authorities have ruled a wildfire started by a 10-year-old boy playing with matches was an accident and no charges will be filed. The boy's name will not be released because of his age. The blaze scorched 38,000 acres and destroyed 21 homes. In Denver, the Colorado Supreme Court approved the language of a pro-life group's petition defining a fertilized egg as a person. If the measure makes it to the ballot and passes, it would give fertilized eggs constitutional protection of inalienable rights. This is QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Chile, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake has hit the northern part of the South American country. There are no reports yet of injuries or damages. The epicenter was located 783 miles north of Santiago. A U.S.-led team of scientists say they have successfully cloned an embryo from a monkey. According to a paper published online, the scientists employ the same cloning method used to create the first clone animal, Dolly the sheep. Primate cloning is controversial, though, because it could open the door and lead to human cloning. OPEC, the organization of the petroleum exporting countries, says it sees no need to increase oil production at this time. Despite appeals from the U.S. to raise output, OPEC officials said they will have production-level discussions and an official meeting in Abu Dhabi on December 5th. Microsoft yesterday issued two critical fixes for its operating systems in its regular monthly update. One security patch removed a bug that affects Windows XP, and the other closed a security hole for computers running Windows 2000 and 2003 servers. As expected, Home Depot announced a plunge in quarterly profits, nearly 27%. The nation's largest home improvement chain cited the housing slump. Light sweet crude is trading at $93.45 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is currently trading at $814.30 an ounce on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow Jones is down 4 points. The Nasdaq is down 8. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Galley.
Not the
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Yes, we are liberal. Yes, I am a Democrat and shall remain so and fight for the life of my party. That's what we're involved doing and doing right now. Hey, I do want to remind you that tomorrow... we're going to have Mark Green on from Air America to promote his new book, Losing Our Democracy. I've got the book. It's a good book, a good read, and we'll have him on, I think, around 4:15 tomorrow. And I've got another exciting guest coming up tomorrow at 3:30 that I'll tell you about just a little bit later. All right? Tease you a little bit. We're going to have, I'll go ahead and say, we're going to have Carolyn from MakeThemAccountable.com and a harder worker in the web news business and political business. I don't know. She and I have both been around it a long, long time. I'm going to have Carol on tomorrow, and I very much look forward to talking to her around 3:30. We're going to talk about the doldrums that we feel, and I suppose all of you feel as well, and I know Carol and probably Bob and everybody. We knock ourselves out every day doing what we do. And when we don't get the results that we'd like to see, and I'm not talking about the size of our audience or that time, I'm talking about political results. It's disappointing, and it's easy to get down on the whole thing. It really is. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And what I want to talk about for the next few minutes on this program are some subjects that are just plain despicable. There are no words. I call it slime. Just plain slime. A couple of subjects I want to talk about, and the first one is the murder. And the FBI, although they don't use that word murder, I don't know what else you can call it when you wantonly kill people in the streets. Just shoot them up and kill them with no regard for the human life. I don't know what else you can call it. The FBI that are investigating that September 16th episode where the Blackwater security people shot and killed 17 Iraqi civilians. Now, the FBI has been investigating that for quite a while now, and they found that at least 14, their ruling on this is that at least 14 of the shootings were unjustified, and they violated deadly force rules. Now, Representative David Price, who happens to be a North Carolina Democrat, has sponsored legislation to extend, and I'm getting this out of the New York Times, to extend American criminal law to contractors serving overseas. He said the Justice Department must hold someone accountable for the shootings, just because, he said, there are deficiencies in the law, and there certainly are. That can't serve as an excuse for criminal actions like this to be unpunished. I hope the new Attorney General makes this case a top priority. He needs to announce to the American people and to the world that we'll uphold the rule of law and that we intend to pursue this. I don't think there's another thing that the new Attorney General, McCasey, could do that's more important than this. These people must be prosecuted. And I'll say this even for selfish reasons for this country. They must be prosecuted. We have to show the rest of the world that we will not tolerate this, that this is something that in this country, our ethics, our morality is good enough that we will not let this stand. We must make an example of these people. How many guests have we had on this program over the years since the Bush War has been going on that have told us, eyewitness, have told us about these wanton killings by these security guards going around, throwing their weight around, shooting people, shooting at them for fun, driving their vehicles up on the sidewalk and terrifying people for fun. This is something that has got to be prosecuted. If you can bring murder charges against these guys, then bring it. It's got to be done. And you can call me anything you want to, and some right-wing people have because of my views on this. Well, that's treason. These guys are over there working for the interest of the United States government. They're working for us. Like hell they're working for us. They're working for Blackwater Security, a for-profit firm that has gotten filthy rich off of this war, and these mercenaries are getting rich off it as well. And then they have the license to go over there and kill, and nothing is being done about it. They can't be prosecuted. We tell the Iraqi government to piss off, we'll take care of this ourselves, and then we do nothing? What kind of an example is that? We want to spread democracy? We want to plant democracy over there, and then we show them actions like this? You know, you start looking at some of the issues that have taken place there, the Abu Ghraib, and this, it, you know, somewhat counterproductive, you might say. How do we ever win the hearts and minds of these people? Well, that's a silly question. We're not going to. We're not going to. All that we can do is stop the bleeding. We can put in a government here that stands up and says they won't stand for that. And we can start right now with this new Attorney General being man enough to say, yes, I will prosecute these people. Now, what could Bush do about it at this point? Would he fire his brand new attorney general, his shiny new attorney general? Would he fire him? No, he can't politically. He fought tooth and nail to get him in there. He will not fire him. He cannot. So I'm saying to you that if McCasey is any kind of a man, if he's any kind of a man and really wants to stand up for what's right, then now's the time. Now is the time. Come out today, come out tomorrow, but say these people will be prosecuted for murder, because that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about an accident. We're talking about murder. And don't think this is the only case of it, because it is not. We can't go over there in front of these people and expect them to have any, you know, deference toward the United States government if we don't stand up for what's right. The world has seen this, not just the people from. I'm so goddamn humiliated that my government would allow this to happen and not do anything about it. I'm more disgusted over this than you can imagine, and I know all of you are as well. And it really pisses me off when I have these righties send me email. Oh, how dare you say anything? These guys are over there working for us. Don't say anything against the troops. Those are not troops. Those are murderers. It's the same as the guys in My Lai were murderers. They weren't United States soldiers working for the interests of the government. They were murderers. And that's what these guys are. And everybody needs to recognize that fact, and they need to bring the full weight of the law down upon them. And they need to cancel the contracts of this Blackwater Security Company. Set an example. For once, have this administration set an example. A decent example for a change. Look at the examples they've set. They've shown us that it's all right to torture people. They've publicly said so. They've set an example that we can start a war on the basis of a fat-ass lie. They've set an example that Scooter Libby and the people in the White House can lie their asses off. They can out CIA people. For once, one time, set a good example. Remember, this is the party that took power with family values. This is the party that took the evangelicals. The evangelicals put them on a pedestal and said, yes, we will elect you. Family values, Blackwater, murder. Not the kind of family values I was ever taught. Not the kind of family values I know any of you were ever taught. The filth and the slime that takes place in this administration is staggering. And it continues on. And this Blackwater thing, did you hear the story? It's not just the story, it's the truth. Did you watch the House Oversight Committee hearings on this? Have you heard this guy, Howard Krongard? He's the State Department Inspector General, and he's testifying in front of the House Oversight Committee. And the reason he's testifying, because he's been accused of stifling an investigation into hanky-panky taking place over there by Blackwater and others. And they get him in front of this and say, hey, what's this about your brother being on the... he was investigating this deal about the weapons being illegally sold over there by Blackwater and all. And they bring up, what's this deal about your brother being on the board of Blackwater? And he says, oh, no. No, that's an ugly rumor. Not my brother. He said, I can tell you very frankly, let me quote him, I can tell you very frankly, I'm not aware of any financial interest or position he has with respect to Blackwater. It couldn't possibly have affected anything I've done because I don't believe it. This is his brother he's talking about. And to further quote him, and when these ugly rumors started recently, ugly rumors, he says, I specifically asked him, this is his brother he's talking about, I do not believe it is true that he is a member of the advisory board, as you stated, and that is something I think I need to say. He said while looking down his nose at people on the committee. And so during a break in the hearing today, Krongard called his brother, he says, and confirmed the, quote, ugly rumor, and comes back and he says, in front of these of Henry Waxman, he said, this is in response to something I think you found important during the break. Now, you tell me, do any of you buy this story? During the break, I did contact my brother. I reached him at home. But I've learned that he had been at the advisory board meeting, Blackwater, yesterday. I had not been aware of that, and I want to state on the record right now that I hereby recuse myself from any matters having to do with Blackwater. And Waxman says, I see. You indicated that you'd called your brother to ask him earlier whether he was on the board, and he told you he wasn't. And Krongard comes back and says, well, that was 6 weeks ago, and I was not aware. And this board meeting just happened yesterday. So we're to believe that sometime between 6 weeks ago and now, this guy gets on the board at Blackwater, and his brother didn't know about it. One of the charges against this Krongard guy is that he blocked a House investigation into whether weapons illegally smuggled into Iraq by Blackwater employees were then sold on the black market and then ended up in the hands of a U.S. designated terrorist organization. And Waxman found out that Krongard had ordered his investigators to immediately stop cooperating with federal investigators. And just to finish up the story, Blackwater is a State Department contractor that's received hundreds of millions of dollars of work from the government. And they've repeatedly rushed to the Bush administration, repeatedly rushed to the defense of Blackwater after the deadly September shooting that killed 17 Iraqi civilians, even promising, and I know you remember this, legal immunity to the company's guards. And after the shooting, Blackwater got a new $92 million contract. Slime? This is beyond slime. This is murder by Blackwater. This is corruption by Blackwater. This is corruption and lying to Congress by Krongard. Where does it end? Where does it end? One time, just give me a good example. Just once. I'm so tired of this. I really am. I'm going to pause for a break. 866-546-5254. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about some more slime, and we're going to talk about Rudy and Fox, and it doesn't get much slimier than that, unless we're talking about Blackwater, of course.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, following nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at the king, Elvis Presley.
The first car I ever bought was the most beautiful car I've ever seen. It was secondhand, but I parked it outside of my hotel the day I got it and sat up all night just looking at it.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network, and find out what happened to that car.
I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the barn. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rocking shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I'm walking, yes indeed, I'm talking.
Yes, indeed. We're all walking, because walking is good medicine for your heart. The American Heart Association says for every hour of regular vigorous exercise we do, like very brisk walking, we could live 2 hours longer. So start walking. Imagine if we walk to the moon and back, we could live forever. Start walking for life. Take your mother. Take your brother.
I'm walking, yes indeed, I'm talking about you.
Take your heart for a walk. Join the START movement at AmericanHeart.org/START for tools, tips, and more.
Everybody now, I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm a-talking. You'll feel better, and you could live longer.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. I recently gave out some medals of outstanding presidential honor to some deserving folks. One of them was a writer of words who wrote the classic book, To Kill a Mockingbird. Mockingbirds are a recognized danger to our country. They should be killed. And any book that advocates that act so boldly and bravely deserves a medal. We must also hold to account all those who engage in mocking, particularly the mocking of the Commander-in-Chief. I urge Congress leaders to sponsor my bill to outlaw not only mocking, but all ridicule during a time of war. Jibes and derision are to be allowed only by the proper officials, like the President, whose job it is to know how and when to mock people responsibly, when our national security is on the line. For example, during press conference emergencies, I need the authority to use nicknames and poke fun at folks' clothing. In my bill, those caught laughing, snickering, or smiling in a suspect manner will face justice at the hands of great prosecutors like Atticus Finch, who will try the laughers in our courts, and who will be remembered in song and story for generations to come for their bravery in killing the mockers, and any birds who aid and comfort them. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
You're listening to The Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. Hello, and welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up 25 and three quarters after the hour. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We were talking about slime before we went to the break, talking about the murders committed by the Blackwater people. And if they don't like that, I understand they're offended by that. Sue me. Sue me. Murder. It is murder. When you take a gun and you shoot somebody intentionally and you don't have a reason for it, a justification for it, it's murder. Period. End of story. But I want to talk about a little different slime. And when I think of the word slime, I automatically think of Rudolph Giuliani. And I won't get into the whole Bernie Kerik thing here today. Well, maybe I will a little bit. But I've got a few words here from Joan Walsh from over at Salon, and then I'm going to add my own comments to it. And it's about this Judith Regan thing. She's suing Rupert Murdoch's News Corp for smearing her after it was she was fired over the controversy surrounding her O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It. The most interesting thing in this 70-page filing, according to the New York Times, an unnamed News Corp exec, News Corp, we're talking Fox here, folks, News Corp, told her to lie to federal investigators vetting Bernie Kerik about their affair. Defendants were well aware that Reagan, Judith Regan, had a personal relationship with Kerry, the complaint says. In fact, a senior executive in the News Corp organization told Regan that he believed she had information about Kerry that, if disclosed, would harm Giuliani's presidential campaign. The executive advised Regan to lie and to withhold information from investigators concerning Kerry. No comment yet from News Corp. Did you know that News Corp is a client of Rudy Giuliani? Did you know that? Did a little digging today, and you know, Rudy's had this company going where he's made millions of bucks consulting after 9/11. That's how he made his fortune, off of 9/11. How else do these Republican bastards make their money but off of war and killing and all? Rudy's no different. But News Corp is a client of Rudy Giuliani's company. Doesn't that seem odd? That they would ask Judith Regan to lie to protect Rudy all the way back to a couple of years ago? I heard Patrick Buchanan last night saying, why would Fox want her to lie that long ago? Surely they didn't think Giuliani would be a presidential candidate way back then, says Pat. Well, yes, surely they did. And anybody who had an ounce of sense knew back then that Rudy Giuliani was trolling for the presidency. He's been doing that ever since 9/11 was over. Don't think for a minute that Rudy didn't see this as an opportunity and has taken full advantage of it. Because there ever be anybody more opportunistic over a disaster than this? But, you know, I got to thinking about this today, and I thought, gee, this is interesting. Fox could take over the White House press room, kick the rest of them out. Some say they already have. And then they could put in, like, Bill O'Reilly as Secretary of State, because he's so, well, you know, he's so diplomatic. And Sean Hannity could be Secretary of War. Yeah, they'd probably change the name from Department of Defense back to the War Department. That'd be much more appropriate for these people and for Rudy Giuliani. Yeah, you could get your Britt Hume and your Morton Kondracki, and they could be presidential policy advisors along with Charles Krauthammer. Wouldn't that be just ducky? And the whole thing could be tied up in a nice, neat little package. Yeah, Rupert Murdoch could put on a huge, flashing Fox News neon sign on top of the White House and make it all official. Hey, they've been running the show for quite a while now already, so why not make it official? Better yet, rename it the GOP TV. And then, you know, they could take over the FCC and they could get rid of CBS, NBC, and ABC and have Fox be the official state television station. And, of course, Fox Radio would replace NPR. And after all, who needs those pesky alternative views on political matters anyway? And Roger Ailes could be the new Karl Rove of Washington, as if he hadn't been doing that job already, from what I hear. No, you know, the mainstream media, press, they could all hammer away at Hillary Clinton or any of the Democratic candidates all they wish, but they will never, ever be able to find dirt on them like what is available against Rudolph Giuliani. Again, can there be any doubt whatsoever that Fox and Rupert Murdoch are pushing for a Giuliani presidency? Have you seen Hannity lately? He's openly raising funds for Giuliani with the knowledge that a Giuliani presidency would absolutely be a wet dream for the Fox gang. You think about it. Think about it. Their very own president that they bought, paid, and campaigned for. Just think of the enormous influence of Fox on an election if they choose to back a candidate, and that's what they're doing. This is exactly the thing that has me worried about the consolidation of broadcast company and these huge media empires being formed. They would have a president of the United States knowing he owed everything to them, and what wouldn't he do to keep them happy? Need a little war for some ratings? Done. Want to get rid of some of your competition? Just say the word. You pat my back and I'll pat yours. Unless you have any doubt as to who is in charge, Mr. Fox News President Giuliani, just remember, you can't get reelected without us. That's kind of scary, isn't it? This is a scenario that Lenny Riefenstahl and Joseph Goebbels would have drooled about. This is the worst fear of any democracy. We cannot allow this to happen. We cannot allow the neocons to take over this country. You plainly see what they have in mind, do you not? Please, let's keep that in mind as we have our inter-party political fight over who we want to nominate. No matter how much you dislike some of our candidates, don't ever forget who's on the other side of the political fence. Don't forget who's over there looking at you. Fox is going to campaign hard for Rudy Giuliani. They will have a president if they get him elected that they bought and paid for. And what could be better for a network than that? That's just ugly. Really ugly. And as long as I'm talking about slime today, and there seems to be a lot of it coming across today, I wanted to talk a little bit about, just a few minutes, a lot of you know who Alaskan Congressman Don Young is. He's the only congressman from Alaska. Has been for, what, 35 years, something like that? As chairman of the House Transportation Committee, Alaskan Congressman Don Young flew at least three times to upstate New York aboard a sleek jet owned by Robert Kongle, an ambitious shopping mall developer seeking federal highway dollars. Now, isn't this just the strangest of coincidences? Because as it happens, just a couple of miles from where I'm sitting here right now at the Marriott Coconut what Point, it seems that Alaskan Congressman Don Young flew in here as well. And it seems he flew in here to get money, campaign donations as well. And up in New York, with Congressman Young's help, this Kongle, this developer, got millions of dollars to boost his dream of building the largest mall in North America. And, of course, the young Congressman Young walked away with it, too. More than $33,000 in political donations from Conkle and his family, his associates. Cheap, don't you think? He sells himself cheap. Long story is here, the long and the short of it, is Young approved millions of dollars for highway projects for people who in turn fattened his campaign coffers. He got $6.5 million in political contributions from 2001 to 2005. And you tell me, what does a congressman in Alaska need? How much is that? $6.5 million in political contributions? Why does he need that much? You know, he's got no political opposition at home. He doesn't need much for a campaign. He flies around in corporate jets, has lavish trips, meets with developers all over this country, talks about highway projects. Here lately, he's had to spend $450,000 on criminal defense lawyers. Because the FBI finally is investigating the guy. Will anything come of it? Who knows? This guy has done it all. He's got a $10 million earmark for local here. Fundraiser while on a trip to Bonita Springs, Florida. Young received more than $40,000 in donations. He just happened to be talking and getting some of these donations from a developer right up the road here to put an interchange on Interstate 75, and where this guy happens to own, this developer happens to own 4,000 acres. Just a coincidence. 85% of the $6.5 million that Young has collected, get this, 85%. Has come from people who didn't even live in Alaska and could not vote for him. If that isn't the mark of a thief, I don't know what is. 85% of his political contributions comes from people that cannot vote for him, that do not live in Alaska. How many of the donors got earmarks is kind of hard to figure out, but an analysis of Young's campaign finance report show that beneficiaries of just 7 earmarks carry a total price of $259 million. None for a project in Alaska. And they gave the congressman $575,000 in campaign contributions. Young accepted at least 20 trips aboard private aircraft provided by corporations currying favor with this powerful congressman. He also stayed at luxury hotels and resorts and the Four Seasons Hotel in Newport Beach, California, MGM's Five Diamond Bellagio Casino in Las Vegas, and the Lodge and Ranch at Chama, New Mexico. Which also, Dick Cheney would like this, offers pricey hunting and fly fishing excursions. Young is 74 years old. He's been Alaska's only House of Representatives member for 35 years. People fly into Alaska, these corporate people do. For his fundraiser, where they get to join Young for a day of salmon fishing. The guy is just filth. That's all you can say for him. He is political filth. They don't get any lower than him. So, slime, when we talk about slime, oh yeah, there's plenty of it to go around. Lots of it. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today. On a little lighter note today, I found this interesting story. Happened right here in Florida, as a matter of fact. A Florida thief was killed last week. I read this. This is one of those stories that you read and go, oh my God. A Florida thief was killed last week when he fled police by jumping into a pond. And let me tell you, folks, I live in South Florida. Don't jump into any ponds in South Florida, okay? Just don't do it. Anyway, this guy was running from the cops, and he jumped into a pond occupied by a hungry, 9-foot-long alligator. Miami police responded to a call about car break-ins and gave chase when they spotted two men running from the scene. One suspect was captured quickly, but the other eluded police by jumping into a large pond. Police said the suspect was attacked by an alligator moments later. His body was found on the bottom of the pond next day. The gator, believed responsible for the attack, was captured and taken to a nearby facility where it will be examined. And, of course, it is a law. Florida Fish and Game laws require that all alligators must be destroyed if they kill a person. So the gator died. And another little story I found here about dogs. I've got a couple of dogs, the official Guy James Show Yorkies, Sophie and Kukla. Love the dogs. And I always find myself reading dog stories. Do you ever have your dog swallow anything that you just thought, oh no, what is my dog or cat even? Dogs will eat anything. A while back, I thought one of the dogs had swallowed a prescription medicine pill. And, you know, they're just little 6, 7, 8 pound dogs. And you think, oh my God. And you know, I end up calling the vet all in a panic on a weekend. Of course, they wanted $1,000 to bring the dog in and, you know, have them check it out and make sure it wasn't dying from eating this prescription medicine. I was freaking out. Couldn't spend $1,000 on the dog, so I decided to watch the dog very closely. End up finding the pill on the floor. You know, dogs will eat anything. How'd I get to talking about this? To go on with the story, dogs swallow the darndest thing. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. But veterinarians say canines are often more interested in eating linoleum, toys, panties, and rocks. The University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine recently compiled a list of objects swallowed by man's dumb friend. Well, mine aren't so dumb. The list includes floor tile, bras, panties, rope, rocks, jewelry, gift wrap ribbon, library books, tube socks, fish hooks, a bottle of vitamins, 2 5-pound bags of dum-dums, glass, cloth napkins, paychecks, and a large jar of Vaseline. Melissa Kennedy, a vet and faculty member at the college, said dogs eat almost anything that seems to be food. Sometimes it can be a quirk. Sometimes it's an odor. And just to let you know, all the items that we listed there were either passed naturally or were surgically removed. Man, linoleum. If cats thought coughing up a hairball was tough, try coughing up some linoleum. Jeez. And that list. Ah, bras, rope, and a jar of Vaseline? Sounds like the local S&M shop just got a dog there. I'm not so sure. And a couple other little notes, light things in the news. I found this very interesting. In the genteel world of bridge, disputes are usually handled quietly and rarely involve issues of national policy. But in a fight reminiscent of the brouhaha over an anti-Bush statement by Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks in 2003, a team of women who represented the United States at the World Bridge Championships in Shanghai last month is facing sanctions, including a year-long ban from competition for a spur-of-the-moment protest. And at issue, what protest, you ask? At issue is a crudely lettered sign scribbled on the back of a menu that was held up at an awards dinner and read, "We did not vote for Bush." And so by email, angry bridge players have accused the women of treason and sedition. Where have we heard that before? "This isn't a free speech issue," said Jan Martell, president of the United States Bridge Federation. Oh, doesn't that have to be a dandy right there? You talk about somebody that's probably feeling high and mighty. Jan Martell, president of the United States Bridge Federation. Better husband plays polo, too. It's the nonprofit group that selects teams for international tournaments. She said, there isn't any question that private organizations can control the speech of people who represent them. Saying we did not vote for Bush counts as treason in general wingnut America. Well, you know, if I were at a dinner outside of the United States, knowing how the world feels about us right now, I would have no apprehension about holding up a sign or saying publicly that I did not vote for George W. Bush. I wouldn't want anybody to think I was connected with him in any way whatsoever. I wouldn't want anybody to know that I had done anything to help elect him, put him in the office, and help him do what he's done not only to us, to Iraq, and to the world. I wouldn't want anybody to know that. So would I hold up a sign like that? You bet your booty I would. And one last little cute story here today. As you well know, the Southeast, and including Florida, where I live, we started to have our fires already. Just had one the other day. Georgia is in severe drought. That's number one. Number two, Governor Perdue, Sonny Perdue, decides to pray for rain on Tuesday. Number three, the forecast called for rain. The forecast called for rain on Tuesday. And number four, prayer services go ahead as planned. Number five, skies completely clear up immediately following the prayer service. Number six, no rain. And number seven, I guess just draw your own conclusions from that. So Sonny Perdue is going to have it rains in the forecast. They decide to pray for rain. Skies clear up. It doesn't rain. I don't know, Sonny. I don't know. Maybe you haven't been living quite the way you need to. That's not a good sign right there. Not very good. Not very good at all. We're going to pause for a quick one, and we'll be right back.
Everybody
Oh, man. I'm just looking at the chat room at the Head On Radio Network. And by the way, those of you not paying attention, head on over to the chat room at the Head On Radio Network. Sign up for the chat room. And there are great folks on there. Nanette and Ray and Snow Dog and TSM and John and Andy Fraud and Guy James and Elo and Corey Stone and Bob's on there now and then. Always something interesting going on there. But they're talking about snow. Lemon 314 says it's snowing here. Where is that? Where is it snowing? Oh my God! Oh, that sounds so. Sounds so strange. And Corey Stone, I just was mentioning to him about the post office. I did the most humiliating thing on Monday. Yes, I did this. And that's how truthful I am with you folks. I admit it. I did this. I had a package to mail, and I went to the post office on Monday morning, and it's a new post office. I hadn't been to it yet, because we've had a change of address, and I'll get to that in a moment. And while I was there, I had to do the address change as well. And I'd never been to this new post office, and I pulled in there. It's back in a little woods, like a brand new post office, and thought, gee, there was one car in the parking lot. I thought, man, oh man, how lucky can you get on Monday morning, living where I live, with all the snowbirds coming to town and changing their addies right now, their addresses right now, and I get here, and there's only one car in the parking lot? Well, that car must have had a dead battery or something from 2 days before, because, as you know, I got to the post office and opened the doors, and yeah. It is closed in celebration of Veterans Day, which I celebrated on Sunday. So, there you go. Guy does it again. Ah, yes. 866-546-5254. I did want to mention, if you have your pencils and papers handy, we're going to get this posted on the website in the next day or so, but the new address is The Guy James Show, 5390 Park Road, number 3, Fort Myers, Florida, 33908. That's the studio address, okay? 5390 Park Road, number 3, Fort Myers, Florida, 33908, The Guy James Show. So everybody, I know you've all got that written down in your little books right now. Absolutely. Did want to, well, don't have time to start on anything big here today. I did want to mention that I'm sure all of you have heard that Bill Kristol, you know, Bill Kristol is every now and then one of the pundits says something that's so idiotic that you sit there for a minute after hearing it and you wonder if you heard him right. And that's exactly what I did. I sat there in stunned silence until I replayed Crystal's words and heard him again. And this is what Crystal said. But McCain Lieberman, Thompson Lieberman, Romney Lieberman, Huckabee Lieberman, those sound like winning tickets to us. It's true. Given the behavior of the congressional Democrats, the GOP nominee might well win with a more conventional running mate, but why settle for victory if you can have a realignment? Bill Kristol talking about Lieberman running on a ticket with the Republicans. You know, this seems totally nuts to me, but then we are talking about Bill Kristol here. Don't forget, Bill Kristol is batting a big fat zero for about 6 years now. He's been wrong, and I'm not stretching this. He's been wrong on every last prediction he's made concerning the war and foreign policy during these last 6 years. Look it up. I'm not kidding. So he wants to put Lieberman on the ticket with the Republicans. I say go for it. He actually used the word realignment. You know, realignment in political terms it means an election landslide, a landslide where you get 40 states or more on a ticket. It's a watershed moment in politics, and it hasn't happened very often in the modern political world. 1932, 1968, 1980 are the examples of that happening that I can think of in recent history. And what Kristol proposes is that nominating Lieberman would create the conditions for such a massive victory for the Republicans when the troubles of the Republicans are so closely tied to the foreign policy decisions that constitute the chief reason why Kristol admires Lieberman and thinks he should be a vice presidential nominee. In short, the very things that make Lieberman attractive to these interventionists in the GOP are the same things that make the rest of us want to run screaming from the room. You know, adding Lieberman to the ticket that already includes a candidate who blathers about Islamofascism or takes this ultra-hawkish line on Iraq would be the closest thing to a deliberate act of self-destruction by a party that I think we've ever seen. I welcome it. Bring on Lieberman. Let's have Lieberman. Yes. What was it they called him? Sore Loserman? Isn't that what the Republicans called? And now they want him on the ticket? Please, take him. Take him on your ticket. I would love it. I love Al Gore. I love Al Gore. God, I wish he'd been our president. But I have to say, Al, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? I've always wondered about that. I'll always wondered about that. I've heard the political explanation for it, and I do not understand it. Lieberman gained Al Gore nothing. Nothing. Just never got that one, Al. If we ever sit down and have dinner together, which isn't likely anytime soon, well, I would like you to explain that one to me. I really would love to hear the answer to that. Well, I want to thank you for joining us here today on the Guy James Show. Always important to know that we've got a good audience, and we did today. That's one of the advantages of being on internet radio. You know who's listening, how many. Thanks for being there. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, Billy Shears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, Mark Green's going to be with us.